Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And we're having a dialogue, a discourse, a discussion with Ms. Fatima Muhammad. And we won't be able to take any callers today, but I would like to for her to ask questions. I want to also welcome you to our broadcast and tell you that on the 9th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, the Ramadan sessions, the institution that was set up by Imam Waqidin Muhammad, the founder of Muslims in America, and the successor to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, will be held in Chicago, at Hazelcrest, Illinois, the 18th and 19th and 20th. And we will have, I will be a presenter, Imam Ziyotas Hamid, Imam Kareem Muhammad, Hafiq Muhammad, East Coast, Imam Elam Muhammad. I'm going to be given a special, I shouldn't say but, and I will be given a presentation that is entitled, based on the theme, the Quran, a book of guidance for all people and a mercy. My particular presentation or discourse will be the Quran and the establishment of community life and the establishment of New Africa. A light to the world. So we're having a wonderful Ramadan, blessed Ramadan to those of you who are celebrating. I know some of you who are not even Muslims are celebrating. That's good. God made everybody Muslim, meaning one that is surrendered to God's will. This is God made everybody a Christian to have that Christ-like nature in themselves. So I'm honored and privileged, and I'm going to have an open discussion with you to have questions posed to me by Ms. Fatima Muhammad. And Ms. Fatima Muhammad, welcome to Religion Means Alive.
Hello, assalamu alaikum for the Muslim for the Muslim to listen, and hello to everybody else. And well, we're celebrating Ramadan, and how's your Ramadan been, Imam?
My Ramadan has been excellent. I could not ask for a better. We are so excited. We are so pumped up.
Okay, well, you know.
Over the what is going on today. Religion Means Alive is growing. We're gaining support from all quarters, from our elderly and our young. And it's my position that very soon, as our good Christian friends say, soon and very soon, we're going to be coming to a neighborhood nearest you.
I really enjoy your lecture on Sunday, connecting religion with how to stop gun violence in our neighborhood. I really thought that was very relevant to what's been going on. Excuse me, to what's been going on in our community. We've been trying to focus on our, you know, African American communities, and you know the most prevalent issue in our community is gun violence. What's going on in Chicago? What's going on across our nation? Chicago, Florida, Newark, New York, all these places in our communities where we're losing our young children, our young babies. So that's very important. I'm so glad you're touching on. You want one of these ma'ams that are touching on what is important to us, and you connected it. And those Sunday broadcasts where you lecture are have been very important. How do you think it's been received? Are your lectures, your Sunday lectures, how do you think they've been received in our community, in the Imam W.D. Muhammad community?
Well, I think that it has been received in the public that we're working to reach very well. I've gotten two excellent reports, one from a very young person, another one from a person that's in their 50s. One is a non-Muslim and one is a Muslim. I think people have looked at religion and figured that religion has nothing to do with them. They go to the church, don't feel it has nothing to do with them. They said, I'm going to get my praise on, I'm going to get the word. But they don't see how the word of God is connected to their life. The Muslim goes to the masjid. And Mrs. Juma, the psalm said, I'm on my deen. Psalm said, I'm on the haq. But what does it have to do with my everyday life? My neighbor just got shot. My daughter just got shot. A little young girl down the street just got shot. A cousin got killed. I read in the newspaper. I heard on the radio. I see on TV that over 50 people killed in Chicago this weekend. But now, how is it that religion is relevant? So I've been a preacher all my life, and I've always been burdened by how do you explain high, profound concepts to people and make it important, not relevant, because that's all Scripture is addressing, is the relevancy of how to live. The Bible is a manual for living. The Quran is a manual for living. I wouldn't be worth myself. If you were to go to a physician with sinusitis and he were to give you glycerin, they would lock that man up and put him in jail. He'd be charged with a crime. We saw that happen. It's even a crime under the Federal Drug Administration laws to use a medication for other than its prescribed purposes. So the Quran, in particular, is prescribed to solve our problem. So what we're doing with religion means a lot. What we did with that lecture, by God's permission, was to go into it with an analysis of what our problems are and to show that Ramadan, if we can control our anger, if we can control our appetites, if we can control our feelings and give our feelings and appetites over to what God wants, that's going to cut the violence down. That's going to cut the killing down. I don't need a gun. I don't have to kill you. See, if I understand what's in my mind and my feelings and realize God has put me to be in charge of that, that there's a lion inside of me. But the lion, if you don't give that lion some food, that lion would probably tear out of a cave. Well, God gives us some training in Ramadan. Now, I'm starving. I'm not going to lie. I'm hungry. My feelings, I'm not at my best. But during the daylight hours, I'm able to condition myself not to react and understand that now if I apply that fasting to people, restrain yourself. You want to knock the guy upside the head? You want to beat this person up? You want to shoot the person? You want to get your burner? Well, use the principle. Ramadan. I heard in the lyrics of some of the rappers, so I'm seriouser than a Muslim is about Ramadan. So that tells us something, that in the open society, Imam Muhammad has done his job, and they are doing the job. We have popularized proper Ramadan, and Imam Muhammad has given us understanding. He said Ramadan is to be returned to our nature, the fitra, and he said it means that we have shed our animal skin. You notice I talked about the lion. If you don't get something to eat, it'll kill you. That same cat that I love, if I didn't feed that cat over 10 days, that cat would attack me and eat me. Well, let's apply that same principle. And you may want to destroy somebody, but apply that principle of Ramadan to our lives.
How do you feel about some of these rappers alluding to Islam or alluding to certain quotes that they use, alluding to Islam, and they use these certain quotes in their rap or in their music? What do you think is going on there?
Well, I think that the Honorable Muhammad has done his job. I think Imam Muhammad has done his job, is doing his job. I think they have popularized al-Islam among our people. I think that's a big question on our people's mind. They want to know about al-Islam. Some people may condemn Class 13X, called the father in the 5% language. I don't really condemn it. I say he popularized the Nation of Islam lesson to millions of young people. And there's hardly a rapper out here worth his salt that doesn't quote those lessons. So it's on their mind. They're asking questions.
But do you think it's been brought out to ridicule or to critique Islam or to make it a joke? Do you think?
No, I don't think it's meant to be a joke.
Oh.
I think that it's been appropriated because it's on the mind of the people. You know, you can't entertain people unless you reach them. So this is on the minds of the young people. Some areas that blanket the 5%. And much of our African-American life is influenced by prison life. It's street life. And that's what the people on the streets are talking about. It's Islam. So if I'm going to be a big rapper, I got to talk about something that's about Islam. Otherwise, I will be not relevant. So they keep their relevancy. They know that large numbers, 1 out of 3 African-American men, have had contact with the criminal justice system. Unfortunately, some of these men, is the only way they've made contact with al-Islam is in these prison settings. So they have to address what is on the people's mind.
Hmm.
And many of these rappers themselves are Muslim. Tawheed Epps came by it from them. A lot of them are from Quayle. But there's a lot of them. I mean,
who is Tawheed Epps?
Tawheed Epps is 2 Chainz.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of these young men, parents were Muslim or Muslim, and they're interested in it. Shaquille O'Neal, looking at a DVD, he was at Juma when Imam Muhammad was giving Juma. So the athletes, the entertainers, they know about al-Islam. They're interested in it.
What do you think about interviewing rappers? You know, we've had a lot of people on our show. We've had judges, we've had doctors, we've had intellectuals, we've had writers. What do you think about African American or Muslim rappers coming on the show and talking with you about how they taken their rap and introduced it to the public? What do you think about rappers?
I would be delighted to have them. I have a new terminology I hope the rappers will use called halal rap. That's rap that excites people to become educated, excites people to become business people. It shines people to become culturally enriched and shines people to become governmental minded and political minded. So that's halal rap. Rap that can give us a map. That's the kind of rap that will prevent us from taking a nap. So I would love to have them on. And we are planning, and we have gotten words from some people recently that they are going to help produce these shows. You know, we want to have clean rap. What's my rapping about how he wants to get married? Rapping about opening up a business, rapping about developing a pack like these 3 young men who were from terrible circumstances. And they made a pact that they were going to all be physicians. And guess what? They all became physicians. Well, I know a young group of young people that read that book, and they all decided they're going to get in the automotive business. Guess what? They became that. So we're going to travel around the country. We're going to excite our young people. We're going to incite them to goodness, greatness, We're going to sanctify the goodness. We're going to make it acceptable to be good, to be acceptable, to be productive, to be learned, to be a business person, to get rich, build our family. We're going to answer what 50 Cent said, get rich or die trying. We're going to say get rich and live to testify for the glory of God. Yes.
Speaking of living to testify, Islam is not, I haven't seen it often where people do testify. I haven't seen it often in Islam where Muslims testify, where Muslims even sing or dance. These are things that are in the African American culture, but I don't particularly see them in culture, and I haven't seen it move over to Islamic, African-American Islamic culture. You know, African-American. I want you to tell me if there is room for gospel, halal gospel, so to speak. That's your term, halal gospel. If there's room for that, if there's room for praise dancing even, if there's room for singing, tell me how African Americans can adapt their culture, integrate their culture, in their religious culture into Islam.
You're saying that how can African American Muslims inform our culture? Well, yes. God says in the Quran that all people have thy celebrations, thy rights to celebrate. That's what God said. So that shows you in the Quran that that's a big issue for people, that they want to have their own particular culture, rights, and celebrate. The Prophet Muhammad had an Eid celebration. Somebody wanted to stop the Africans from playing their drums, and the Prophet told them, no, don't stop them. And he let his wife, lifted his wife up to see him. I think on his shoulder, I read. He said, pay all people have their own celebration. I'm an African American. Much of my life was influenced by Africa. Much of my life was influenced by the plantation. Much of my life was influenced by the church. So should I throw that away? No, in fact, the fifth pillar of what is called the source of deen, called Usuluddin, use a technical term, is earth, that which is customary. So as long as we make it halal and permitted, as long as it doesn't incite us to sexual appetite, as long as it doesn't incite us to bad things, our culture's good. What's wrong with dance? If God didn't want us to have that, he would never inspire it. Imam Muhammad said, bring the church to the mosque. Huh? What's wrong with singing about Almighty God? What's wrong with the gospel? As long as we, as Muslims, we can't praise Jesus, but can we praise the Creator? What's wrong with dance that celebrates our spirituality? What's wrong with our art that celebrates our beauty? In fact, I'm convinced that Ramadan is particularly set up to purify the culture. I believe Ramadan is set up to satisfy and to purify the culture, to take the impurities out of the culture. So we don't want vulgarity. We don't want the use of nasty language. We don't want the use of filth. We want the language that will cause people to be excited about being industrious, that will excite them about being learned, will excite them about reading books and developing tutorial life. Yes, we need that. And we don't just need music that will excite us about going to hell or heaven. We need to expand our spirituality to realize that God wants for us the best. He wants for us to have a full and abundant life. So I would answer your question, dear sister, by saying it is absolutely permitted, it's encouraged, That's where our scholars, al-Islam, among our community, not from these other communities. I've heard Imam Muhammad say that the favor of Allah is not upon these other Muslim communities. The favor of Allah is upon us. And that's why we need our literate people. That's why I'm going to be at the convention at Tender Park, Illinois. I'm going to be there because we're going to have cultural celebration. We're going to have music. We're going to have poetry. We're going to have rappers. Yes, we like dance. Imam Muhammad So I'm excited that the convention held in Chicago. I'm excited that the convention will bring about a chance for us to develop an assimilated culture. In fact, Imam Muhammad said, if you want to change the society, what you really need to do is change the culture. You know, scripture puts great emphasis on leaves. And leaves are referred to culture. We have culture. There's somewhere in the scripture where it says that God wants everybody to sit up under his own fig tree. That means that you will have your own imagination, you know, your own life. You see, one of the things I've learned from, and we also can learn from other cultures. For example, one of the things we want to have in this Urban Peace Initiative is what is called restorative justice. What is that? We bought that from the American Indians. That's not original to us. The American Indians have what is called restorative justice. You know, if a lot of the young people who have been victimizers of gun violence meet the victims of gun violence, it has brought tears to the eyes. It's caused catharsis. And I would say 80 to 90% of the young people that are in jails today, if they were brought face to face with themselves, they would engage in something I believe our reason for the day was thought. It's repentance. God wants us to repent. And I think we have made a big mistake when we go to these prisons. Rather than telling them what's wrong with the society, telling them what's wrong, that you didn't have job opportunities, you didn't have, your mama treated you badly. No, we need to tell people that God has created you in the best of mold, that there are many other people that persons have gone through the same thing you've gone, and you just made bad choices. So I believe that a lot of these young people could be even released from jail if they were given restorative justice.
I know some of that repentance that you talk about, because it was when Nelson Mandela came in. I remember when Nelson Mandela got out of jail and he wanted I think he called the Truth and Reconciliation.
Right.
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
That's right.
And that Truth and Reconciliation Commission might be what we need in the African American community.
Yes.
Where Muslims and where people of religious faith, people of religion, can hold conferences with people who have committed these assaults on our people, and so we could start healing. This community needs to heal. Don't you think?
Yes, yes, I do, yes. Sister. You know, I was in Paterson, New Jersey, and they invited me to speak. And I'd spoken after a young man who had spent about 8 years in prison for violence. And he said, you know, I felt obligated to come back to these neighborhoods, tell you what prison life is like, and tell you about the wrongs I'm doing. Now, there are a lot of young people, they call them XXX gangsters. These are guys who spent 30 years in prison. Imam Arthur Farrakhan is working with these young people. We want to bring them to these neighborhoods. And the young people that are on the margin, here's what I was going to say. I met these young people in jail. 90% of the young people in jail and the old people in jail. If they had been posed an alternative, many of them would not have chosen that. They weren't, they're not a strength. Nobody pointed out to him that you can be like that good person. We have made people ashamed of being good and decent. Upper. You know who's on the run in our neighborhood? The smart students.
Right.
We pick up and glorify the guy who decided to be Stagger Lee who shot Billy. Let's put Stagger Lee out of the way. It's wrong you shot Billy. Huh? When I was growing up, we didn't romanticize and valorize Stagger Lee. He was put down. So to answer your question about culture, we need a new iconography. The iconography is of a man leaving his home and going and building a family, going and getting a job, even though he might be down. Even though, and we plan to, you ask the question about testimony. Don Black Mama used to have a section in the Mama Speak newspaper called What Islam Has Done For Me.
Right.
And I certainly want to have that. I want the faith community to stand up, whether you be Christian or Muslim, and tell people what God has done for you. Now, I know some Muslims, they get missed by the fact that some Christians, well, some, not as many as you do, will get up and testify that Jesus has done for them. All they're really saying is that God has worked through Jesus in our lives. So I don't get all miffed about that. Our language is different. I don't believe God is in anybody's person. But I'm not going to fight a member of my faith community, my fellow Christian, who is a person of faith, because God says to me and to you and I that nearest to you is a Christian. Nearest to you.
So when you talk about, when you say, when you talk about a new tenor, I think, let me just try to rephrase this. So what you're saying is that you want a new tenor for religious music. What you want is a new tenor for religious music, not so much in our pain, not so much resonating with our pain, but resonating with our goals and resonating with our achievement, resonating with a song that talks more about how we moved up and moved out of a bad situation and moved up into a good situation, or just and what we did after that good situation. So not so much about how. I'm just rephrasing. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. I want you 100% right. I'm glad I was just pausing because I just had a thought that just occurred to me. I wasn't mitigating against what you were saying. I was agreeing with you were saying, and it came to think of a man by the name of Daddy Grace, you know, in popular Daddy Grace, that wasn't real name. But Daddy Grace noticed that our music was a downbeat music. And he came with trumpet and saxophone and brass instrument. And he said, we are not taught that when the saints go marching in, the saints have already marched in. He taught victory. And some of the music slipped into our popular religious language. Victory is mine. I told old Satan, get behind me, B. Let's add the lyrics. I told old poverty, get behind me. I told old ignorance to get behind me. I told old violence to get behind me. Victory is mine. Imagine that being played on the streets of New York, on New Orleans with trumpets, with saxophones. Well, we want to have brass instruments with marching bands. Huh? That will bring into our people a new spirit of victory. The most beautiful music our people have come out of death music. The greatest celebration we have is a ritual. It's funeral. We have to change that. We have to have a great dance when somebody got married. We need a huge dance, a great brass celebration when somebody graduates. Mr. Jones has opened up a store. Muhammad just opened up a store. He just opened up a candy stand in a store. That should be trumpets and brass and cymbals and singing and praise God that this has happened. A great hot sock dance, a dance around the person, and each person says something sweet about it. That's the duty of our intellect. That's what Imam Muhammad has been calling for, to build a new culture, a new life that celebrates life, a new life that celebrates victory, a new life that triumphs over our pain. See, the American people fought a revolution, then they celebrated with the 4th of July. Huh? The Jewish people went through oppression in Egypt, so they say. And what happened? They had the Passover. That's a big celebration. Shouldn't we celebrate Juneteenth like that? Shouldn't we have fireworks going off? Shouldn't it be a massive parade? Shouldn't we make our Savior's Day a big celebration? Huge celebration. Huh? We should celebrate Ramadan session like that. And we all should come together right now in Chicago and hear the better minds of our community. Stop this lying and telling, stealing people and having people to be out. No, we serious. We have to stop that. We have to come together so we can have one big victory. The Puerto Ricans in New York, they're able to have 1 million people to come to the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Maybe 2 million people. Imagine that if we had 2 million people come and get insight from the Quran from Imam Muhammad. Imagine if we had 2 million people like the West Indian Parade to celebrate West Indian culture. We should be celebrating that the Quranic insight has come to us. Imagine our Christian brothers could come and witness that. Now, I have a message that would give a Christian preacher something to build a church with, something to build your mosque with. That's what I have from Imam Muhammad for us. And that is to be celebrated, and that should be a cultural celebration. That should be a part of our cultural celebration. We need to institute that as a part of our celebration. Imam Muhammad has put 3 major celebrations in the Muslim African-American lives, and that is the Savior's Day, the convention, Ramadan session, and New World Patriotism Day. These need to be huge celebrations, and we should have them first in Chicago, and later on we can pipe them in into other cities, and now we have 10, 15 million people watching it. Imagine the impact that that will have on the society. So I have to spank our leaders on an ego trip who want to take away from what Imam Muhammad has set up. Imam Muhammad set the Ramadan sessions up. Right now we're in few numbers. Imam Muhammad said it's very important for us to impact, very important for us to impact the people. Big numbers. We need to have huge rallies. Yeah, it may cost us $200,000, but you know that will do $2 million worth of good work. So you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. I will tell you that we are in an emergency mode right now. We need some massive donations in here. We need about $500 by Friday because we have to pay these people for this broadcast. They don't give you time. You put your credit card up. You don't have the money to cut you off. So I hope you all are enjoying the program. Hope you will respond to us. Send your donation to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. So if you'd like to pose a question, a discussion, we're primarily focusing in on our Sunday broadcast that we had Sunday, and Ms. Muhammad is asking, posing questions. But I prefer if you ask questions and comments that is directly related to the topic. If you got a burning thing to talk about, please don't hesitate to call. Those who are already on the line, don't hesitate to press 1. Also, while I'm at it, I want to announce that Brother Imam Adib Shaker, the Imam of the Father, Son, Men, and Boys Association, will be hosting the New Africa Family Day. It will be the first Sunday in August. As always, you need donations. This is a $10,000 to $20,000 undertaking, where we can have food, family, friendship, reunions, socialization. One way people are educated is not just in formal institutions. They're also educated by being in social environments. In fact, the child first learns how to walk and talk from observing others, the family. So we need this kind of socialization. This also will continue our effort of the Urban Peace Institute, the Urban Peace Initiative. We have a campaign that we are starting for peace in the neighborhoods. So, and this Sunday event, first Sunday in August, Brother Deep Shackle will call in and give us the address, post office box, PayPal information. We need people to donate to that program. Some of you that coordinated, you can should come and help raise the money for this. Really, we should replicate this in other cities. The more healthy environments that our people have to be with each other, to have a union, and I think it's still about the largest gathering in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and it's not for Muslims. It's for all people, primarily all African Americans. So we shouldn't be
I enjoy it very, very much. We have the African Muslims come, and they sit on the side, and they have their community that comes, and then we have the community from New York that comes in. This is a really grand outing that we have with free food, all the people, and I like that. I see a lot of older Muslims come from the community, a lot of seniors come out. And they bring their family, and sometimes they don't eat the free food that we offer to the community, but they bring their own food there. And then we get caught up on, you know, all the old Muslims and, you know, how they're doing and what's going on with them as far as their health. It's like a reunion, but not just a reunion. We see the grandchildren. It's kind of like a reunion, but we also see African Muslims who are not African American. Who are not Muslims coming out and joining us and being a part of just the community.
Ms. Muhammad, are you going to invite your students and many students?
Oh yes,
in?
I'm inviting.
And sometimes you actually have seen a reunion of students.
Right.
I've been
right.
at gatherings where
right.
you met
right.
students, and students have come up to you and said, Miss Morgan, did you remember me? And they now are Muslim. But I mean,
yes.
some of them come that are not actually Muslim.
Yes.
But we want
yes.
them to come. This is a reunion. This is a chance for all of the Wheatley High School people, the Elizabeth High School people. You should come and get a table. You should come and get a section and say all the living Bethians are going to be here, all the people from Wheatley, all the people from Central, you know.
Everybody, even we have New Yorkers that come out. We want to see, I just love it because we see what I'd like to see is fathers and mothers and children and all sitting and enjoying and eating. And what I love is every year he's been doing it, I think 16 years now, and there hasn't been any fights. Nobody's been fighting. Nobody's been arguing. See, that's the picture that they never tell you about. That's the picture that they never tell you about is that African Americans who are not related can sit and enjoy each other's company and don't share the same religion, can sit down and enjoy each other's company, don't share the same culture, can sit down and enjoy each other's company, being human beings and loving who we are just as a place in this human family. So we love to come to it. My son usually sells something there. He's usually selling ICs or something like that. He likes to sell things. So, you know, we love being a part of the Father, Son, Men, and Boys community. And we need people to donate to it because he does it by himself, basically. Brother D does it by himself. He needs help. And we need people to join us and to be a part of this. Even if you could get in your car, put your family in your car, and come on out and be with us, this is a community-based organization, and we need your support.
All right. We have a caller from 973. Caller, you're on the air.
As-salamu alaykum, Imam Alfred.
Alaykum as-salam.
And Ramadan Mubarak. And also to you, sister.
Right back to you.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Brother Imam Adib Shakir, as you said, has been the spearhead with this. When I lived in Jersey, I was a member of that organization as well. And the effort is to bring together people of like minds, like spirit, to accomplish something that invite the people to look at this effort and participate, to give the good. And the sister mentioned no fighting and no argument. That is exactly correct. And the theme is centered around doing for self, organizing to help the community, and also businessmen. Businessmen support this, and they put their money into it and offer their services to the general community. So in return, our community or this effort is supported personally or individually by us through these businesses. We support these businesses to keep this going, and it is a wonderful affair, and hopefully, inshallah, I haven't been up there in a few years, but it gets bigger every year from what I understand, and I think Brother Shakir has done an excellent job, and hopefully it will continue, and more people will get involved and participate and create a network where we know who the business people are in our community. We know the people that they got something to offer and are willing to offer, participate on a level of, this is my community. I'm concerned about what happens in my community. And when we see that type of organization, then we can begin to address those other issues that you were mentioning, Imam Alfred, in terms of the prison population or the young man that's lost in his prison, what they call this thing?
Industrial complex. The prison industrial complex.
Absolutely. That is a sad commentary to see that our people, it's like they're willing to go to this complex and be proud of it going there, but like you said, when they come out or when they realize the things that they have done, then they are ready to make amends, which is wonderful, tawbah, repentance. So we want to see that, but we want to stop that from happening from the beginning, not as an end result, but to prevent it from happening in the beginning, in the early stages. Like, they're looking at our young youth, and pardon me for taking so long, but I see this story about male children in the scripture being killed. Pharaoh were killing the male children. Herod were killing the babies, a young 2-year-old. And I see that played out in today's society where they're taking our young men. They're not mature yet. Matter of fact, the Constitution said they're only 3/5, so they're still dealing with a 2 here. So they haven't matured to the level of balance. They have a mature to a balanced human being now, so they are being killed, not so much physically, but that as well. Their mind, their industrial attitude is being killed. Cain has slew Abel, so we are suffering from these scripture information that we have not interpreted yet. We have not looked at it correctly yet. We got all men teaching our children to fall in line with that, to visit or to graduate from this industrial complex or prison complex, which is a sad commentary. So that would be my statement that I share at this point.
Thank you so much, Brother Dumala. We wish you were here in Jersey to help pull off this event. So if you can't be with us, please pick us in prayer. And certainly, Brother Deeb and I will, Imam Adib would appreciate anything you can do to assist us. Thank you so much.
Shukran.
Have fun. Any other callers, you can dial 805-727-7013.
I'd like to hear someone's opinion on the halal gospel. I mean, that right there is a total difference in how we think about Islam. But see, I believe that Allah blessed us so that the African American could put a new spin on Islam. I mean, what I'm saying is that the way the Imam taught us was completely new. His ideas and what he said to us was completely new.
And I would add also very Quranic and very much consistent with Muhammad the Prophet and his not consistent and absolute follower of the book. The Imam Muhammad obeyed Allah and he obeyed his message. And he respected his culture. And he said that he got this idea. His mother used to sing the song.
Mm-hmm.
And he said she just took Jesus up.
Right.
You know, so we as Muslims, but that's why I said we halal it. We don't have to throw it away. What's wrong with sometimes I feel like a motherless child? Sometimes all of these songs, there's nothing wrong with those songs. You know, I won't complain. There's nothing wrong with that. There's some of the songs we don't even have to change.
Right.
But those that have got Jesus to God in.
Right.
Get me here, just precious Lord, take my hand, leave me on.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, we have sisters that listen to gospel music anyway.
That's
I
right.
know Muslims listen to gospel music, they just don't tell each other.
Well, we have been given.
They listen to gospel music anyway.
I want to explain part of what happened.
Right.
In the process of the Abdullah Muhammad pulling us out of the church, some of us came out of the church with a lot of anger. We were angry that we were not on the deacon board. We were angry we were not preachers. And we were angry if we were preachers. We were angry at our mama. We were angry at those facts. And so as a result, we brought a lot of resentments into Islam. And Imam Muhammad didn't have those problems. So he could see the good in the Nation of Islam, the good in African-American culture, the good in the and church culture. You know, we think everything about the church culture is bad. No, not everything is bad. Not everything about the Nation of Islam is bad. Not everything about our previous life is bad. A lot of good things happen. So we, are, as Muslims, are taught to celebrate the good.
Also, I think in regard to, excuse me, halal and the gospel, the message of Jesus was the gospel, the word. So in terms of that Christian influence there, in the way it was taught to the masses of the so-called Negro, appear as though it's not an inclusive idea. It's only about praising Jesus as God, and we know what that message is for the Muslim. But the gospel is the obedience of Jesus, alayhi salam, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yes, I think there need to be a re-education or clarification, or like Minister Malcolm used to say about being bamboozled. We need to undo that. We need to get these religious leaders to educate the people and give them the truth so that it will help their life. And Esau Ibn Maryam, he said, I give you the information how to eat, what to eat. I heal the sick. I give eyesight to the blind. And I raise the dead. So we have that same language in al-Islam, but not in that context that Jesus do this, Allah does this. So, yes, the message need to be cleaned up, or the enlightened mind that came to the so-called Negro and educated and taught us to how to look at Scripture in a different way, yes, we can apply that. And it should start somewhere. So the idea of halaling, the gospel, or the not the gospel, but what was that? The gospel.
Halal and the rap music.
Song.
Yeah, we should also halal the rap music. Get it halal. Make it halal. Make it permissible.
Absolutely. I think that's something that should be dealt with on a consistent basis. Also, Imam Alfred and sister, Martin is your name? But anyway, there are elements that don't want that enlightenment to come about because it's a threat to the ego and the eccentric of the black eccentric behavior that some of us exhibit because it has us in a position of strength. We think that is strength or power. But it's an illusion, of course. But when the masses wake up, then they get rid of the rider. The donkey get rid of the rider. And this is what is happening in our community. The rider is riding the back of the donkey, but the donkey will get rid of the rider when its eyes are open and when the right message, when it's put out there in terms of what you were saying, Imam Alfred, that we bring this to the people. We share this with the people. We enlighten the people. We re-educate them. That's when it happens. When we get rid of the liars, the people that want to trick us and steal from us and murder us, that's the time that the arc is, we're on that arc to save our own life and to save the life of our people because no one is going to do it for us. We got so many years, 400 some years of the residuals of slavery. And the very people that benefited from that, they don't want to change that. They're not going to change that. And if we expect them to change it, then we're living in a world of make-believe. So we're the one that have to realize, I'm tired of this. It's like the donkey. I'm tired of you riding my back, and why have you struck me these 3 times? So after a certain period of time, the donkey throw that off. But it has to recognize the message has to be put out there. The effort has to be made, and the support need to be done instead of people are only interested in their self-aggrandizement or their power, interested in being a thief.
I think that I agree with you, my brother. I think that I agree with you. I think that it's coming around where people are starting to see how they're being used. The young people especially are starting to see how they're being used. These young people are becoming a lot more astute to the whole use game. And you're starting to see how they're opening up their eyes. Just like I said, it's like a man. It's like Vince Van Winkle, you know, being asleep for I think it was 100 years or something, and how he woke up, and you can see how these young people are starting to wake up to this type of hallucination you called it that they're in, you know, you can really see that. You see when they start talking to you and you start talking to them, you see that they pretty much had to roll threw away the rose colored glasses a long time ago, but they just needed to connect with other people that have threw away mm-hmm. these rose glasses. So I mean, I totally agree with you that you see these young people starting to become aware of what's going on. The reason why they're still in the game, so to speak, is because they see that their other friends haven't caught on. It's like D-Mam and The Matrix. You know, that was one of his favorite movies. D-Mam had one of his favorite movies was The Matrix. And that was because in The Matrix, it was a band, and he had took the, I think it was the blue, he had, it wasn't Samuel Jackson, it was this other guy, I forgot his name, a black guy. And he said Morpheus, and Morpheus said take the red pill or take the blue pill. But if you take this, I think it was the ring, said, if you take this red pill, he said, listen, let me tell you something. You're going down this hole. He said, Alice, you're going down this hole. And he said, you'll never come back.
And the imam essentially gave us this red pill, and we have not looked back. This red pill he gave us, we have not looked back, but now it's like we're afraid to give it to the world. It's like we're afraid to let anybody take the red pill with us. It's like we're afraid to tell people about this red pill, you know, about taking this red pill and what's going to happen when you take it, you know, because we don't want, it's like we don't.
What you have, sister, is the selfish leaders, the thieves that have gotten in the position of leadership, the liars, they're only interested in what they can get out of this thing. And then some of them steal and walk away and leave the community suffering, leave the community they were leading suffering. So, yes, they don't want enlightenment, and you're correct in regard to that analogy. They don't want the people to have the red pill. They want them to be a slave to them. And here's another idea I have. You don't need anybody to read the Quran to you. It's the same idea about the preacher. You don't need anybody just to read to you. You can read for yourself. And if we don't study this religion to learn this for ourselves, then we will always have this rider on our back. So we have to learn. We have to read for ourselves. And as you're saying, as this pressure, as these problems bring us down further into a hole, we have to say, or the realization will come to us that, man, I don't need to be in this hole. Why have I been unjust to myself? Let me stop this. And in your analogy, let me take the red pill. And the red pill have medicinal application or a spiritual application and physical application that will change the condition. And you don't change until you first come to realize that there's something going on in me. Imam Alfred say a lot, we're all sick, and this is the hospital, including yours truly. So let's go to the hospital. Let's take the medicine. And that medicine, as well as your analogy is, would be the red pill. I would agree with you very much so.
Yes, sir. That's 100% correct. Another thing I want to bring to the people's attention, you know, Muhammad said, in addition to bringing the Quran, his job was also to motivate our people and to help us build a culture. He had a twin job, the Quran, the proper understanding about Islam, but also working with the descendants of slaves. See, we have to understand, we're no more than 50 years into citizenship in America. And I think around 1965, they fully accepted us to be citizens. You know, we've been fighting for that, so we got those rights. But, you know, when you are wounded, you go to the hospital, they perform surgery on you. Right away, you just can't go out and do your normal day-to-day activity. The good doctor will give you a rehabilitation program. And God blessed us with a good doctor by the name of Imam Wafidin Muhammad. He used biblical language. He had a good Samaritan that came and filled the man that was wounded. He came and healed that man. And that's what we have to do with each other. That's what we have to do with ourselves. And while we're at it, this is the month of Ramadan. The first 10 days is the first 10 days of mercy. So we need to be merciful to ourselves, merciful to our mates, merciful to our neighbors, merciful to our families, merciful to the world, merciful even to animals. And we need to inculcate in our minds and our spirits and into our bodies the religion of Islam for our Christian friends. Psalm of fast and Ramadan. I would tell you what Imam Muhammad said. If you've got to read the Bible, read the Psalms and read the Proverbs. And those scriptures will strengthen you, make you a stronger person. Because we have a lot of people that I know Christians, I've talked to them, that are trying Ramadan. And the Prophet Muhammad told us to try Islam. He didn't tell us, you're not, but see, you have to witness something. So we want to work even for next year to make a pre-Ramadan tour of America. If you all give us support, we'll do it. And we can explain to our people the benefit of Ramadan. And I guarantee the African-American community if we could get more and more of our people to practice Ramadan. Just for 30 days, they only practice for 2 days. That would ameliorate the violence. How do I know we can stop the violence from killing of each other? Whitney Houston died and had a funeral for 3 days. There was not one killing in Newark. Why? Because the people were so touched by our life. And we can touch our people's lives. That's why it's necessary for us to have big conventions, big meetings. That's why we don't want to splinter this community off. Imagine if we had a meeting in Chicago with 100,000. That would get the attention of our people. Imagine in Newark, 10, 15,000 people at the arena. It would get attention. It would also serve notice on our enemy that we are serious, and it would serve notice on our friends that we are friendly. And that's why I'm supporting these three major events, Ramadan session 18th and 19th and 20th in Chicago, which was established by Imam Waqf-e-Din Muhammad, and the new Africa Family Day that is established by Imam Adib Shaker. Yes, and also the convention that's going to be held Labor Day weekend. And Imam Muhammad, I just interrogated his message to find out why would he choose Labor Day? Because he wanted to make us workers. And one of the first council of imams meeting that I attended, the imam had on a select group of the imams together, he said he wanted us to motivate our people to be workers and to tell them what God says in the Quran. God says, I am a worker, and never is there a time that I'm not engaged in some marvelous work. So you, too, work in your places.
Alhamdulillah. The message of Islam is perfected. And the Ramadan for the believer does so much for him. Satan is locked up. The gates of hell are locked up. Discipline come about. Compassion, empathizing for other people, comes about where you're feeding the hungry. You are doing the good. And on the physical side of the fast, you get a chance to lose some of the pounds that we've accumulated over the years. But that's not the purpose of the fast, but that's I think we can consider it a side effect of the fasting. And we've talked about some of the benefits of that fast over the years, and even during this time, how it helps us in many, many ways. So, and people, our friends, they how do you do that? And then once you explain it to them, in terms of this personal relationship here, they see some good in that. And they want to emulate it too. So, yes, it has. And it is perfected by Allah. So, it is nothing but good for the believer. So, yes, it has some good qualities and residual effects for them to anyone that does it. And, of course, they do it for the right reason.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my dear beloved brother. Anyone else wishes to make comments or ask questions? Well, I'm going to go back to Sister Muhammad, and you can ask me questions regarding the Sunday lecture.
All right. Now, last Sunday's lecture, we talked about talk to me more about religion and how it connected to violence. I know it was a brother that you had on before then. It was a brother that spoke for about 45 minutes on the Sunday broadcast, and he connected. He talked about how we had a religious responsibility. As people, faith-based people, we had a religious responsibility to stop the gun violence in our community. He said it was a religious obligation.
Yes, it is.
He talked about how that religious obligation. Could you explore more on that religious obligation?
Yes, exactly. God says in the Quran that save yourself and your children from a fire. Now, what could be more fire than the bullet? Fire is filled with men and stone. And the stones is referring to the psychopath. The men are the thinking people that just get caught up in. But God asks us to obligate us to do that. I'm giving you the Bible because it's important. We're talking to Christians too. This program is not just for Muslims. So when you come on the air, remember we're talking to mostly Christians, and many young people. So we have to understand that. And it says that if you save the life of one person, as though you saved the whole people. I often like to refer to the Bible and the Quran. The Quran and the Bible. Because what is referenced in the Quran, it's also in the Bible. Now, specifically about this obligation, we are obligated. You know, every day we say, the Muslim that is, saying my prayer, surely my prayer, my sacrifice, and my life is all for you, God. So we're saying that. We're saying the need, the necessity to do what God wants us to do, and he obligates us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, how can I be satisfied with a young lady no more than 16 years old walking out in the street that was killed in North? How can I be a human being? We're not even talking religion. How can I be a human being and not feel for my fellow human being? But how can I be a religious person? And I've been empowered by the word of God. And I don't have something to tell the victim and the victimizer. The victim and her family might sympathy and love, and I said I'm going to do everything in my power to prevent this from happening again. But the victimizer, I have to let him or her know. I want to know why you did it, but I also want to bring you swiftly to justice. Now, I have some more radical proposals for ending this violence and ending this neglect in our neighborhood. Come by. But as we gather steam, we're going to do that.
I know you were discussing how we as African Americans maybe should, you know, if we could just march in our neighborhood. March. I think we may have talked about that.
Yes.
Marching in our neighborhood, not marching, not trying to go to Washington, not trying to, you know, make a big statement here and there, New York or whatever, but marching in our neighborhoods, in Harlem, in Newark, in Camden, in these neighborhoods where these blacks in Chicago, but in the neighborhoods of Chicago. I know you said the imam talked about
Yes, he said that. We should do that. We should be in the neighborhood. But our whole battle is not external. Our battle is creating an ethos among us. So when people have a language for explaining us, they see a peaceful, industrious people. But more importantly, our ethos internally has to be peace. That's why it's so important what Brother Deep Shack is doing, Brother Mama Deep Shack is doing with the Father, Son, Men, and Boys. We need a picture language. First thing a child sees is not language and words, but in picture. Peace. And we say that every day in our devotional prayer. Peace to the right and peace to the left. Peace and mercy of God be upon you. So we have to obligate ourselves to make peace. Assalamu alaikum, meaning I'm obligated to give peace and to establish peace in the neighborhood where I live at. That's first. So we're religiously obligated to do it, humanly obligated to do it, and ethnically obligated to do it.
And you say
I think your moniker, Imam Muhammad, religion means alive. That constitute or encompass all of the aspects of the human being life. So you're correct. Religion plays a most important part. And However, we need to get as the expression goes, we need to get the Satan out of it, because it has the language has been confounded, perverted, and confused by the liars and the Satan that has casted himself as a light of the religion, and especially in for the masses of people, because they are not taking religion serious. Or maybe the term religion is overused, but a way of life is being abused. We don't eat right. We take in foreign substances that destroy our body and our mind, make us hallucinate, and we acquire various maladies behind this. So something has got into the language, or as you use the expression of leave, the leaves that we are using in our society, it is the forbidden leave, not the leaf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam not to touch, but the leaf that's been changed by Satan, and he is the light for the society, for those people that have bought into this corruption and proud of it. You got ministers, and I know that there's one guy that calls himself an imam up there in Canada, telling me he'll marry two men or two women. That's not religion, or that's not the word of God. So they have allowed the perversion to come in. Anything goes. No regard, no respect, no love and fear of God anymore. They fear man and what is politically correct more so than they fear God. So these type of messages and this information need to be taught in these, what they call these churches. What did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to call them? Well, I won't repeat that, but anyway, you know what that is. So these are the type of messages that need to be taught into these religious institutions these days. And people, we need to stand up and get rid of the rattle off our back, because, as I said, you got the people stealing. Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah grant him paradise, was talking about how he was invited up in this tall building and shown, well, you can have all of this material, just let the game go on. Don't say anything. Don't speak up. He said, no, I can't do that. So you have the people that's robbing the people blind and turning them away from the worship of the one God. They've associated every bad and ugly thing to God, and it has done nothing but destroy their humanity and made them animals. They're more vicious than the wild animal in the jungle now. I mean, just it is amazing the things that we do. For what? There's no sense. There's no humanity to that. So something has got into their food. They're eating the wrong food. They drink, as it's said on the streets, they're drinking the wrong Kool-Aid, man. And they have taken the leaves from the tree of perversion and corruption, and they embrace it. Behavior say, I love it. But there's a day that will come when it will reach its apex, and they're going to have to give an account of it, inshallah. We believe that. So I think this religious idea, the term, the way we use it, it definitely has caused problems for those people that don't know the truth, or those people that prefer and want to control, manipulate, and misguide the people. They have a satanic attitude or a satanic intent to challenge God. You find them ungrateful when you on the day of Yom Kiyamah. So in this word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Who can be truer than the word, or what can be truer than the word of Allah? So that's my sermon for the day, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, that's a great assignment. I also want to send our sympathy out to Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar on the passing of his nephew, We are from God, and to God we shall return. And his nephew was an outstanding businessman. We want to remember him in our spirit. Again, I want the people to know this program is not just for Muslims. I get often more calls and contacts from people who are not Muslims who listen to the program. They want to see how a Muslim imam addresses their lives. And we're thankful for them, and we're thankful for you. And we want to remember him in our prayers, remember his family, remember Brother Imam Mubashir in our prayers during this month of Ramadan, a month of reflection, a month of recreation, so we can take on the images of God. What are the images of God? Two of his most important characteristics is mercy, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And we should be a blessing to each other. We should be redemptive to each other. We should be redemptive to ourselves. And we should be working to build a model community. And thus model communities throughout these United States, with particular references from Rio de Janeiro to Halifax, Nova Scotia. We want to repair the Africans who came to America, who had their life taken away from them. And God, in his mercy and infinite wisdom, we believe is restoring our lives through the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And religion means alive as a tool, because Imam Muhammad is the one that created religion means alive. He is the one that came out with a big program outlining that religion means alive. See, we don't want to pick up any banner of someone else. We want to pick up the banner of our leader, beloved leader and teacher. I hope other ministers will spring up. Other ones, the Sacred Life Connection. All kinds of ministers all over the country and all over the world expecting the insights, the guidance that God has given us. Religion is the purpose is to guide us. That's all religion is a guidance system to be applied in four areas of our lives, toward education, toward business, towards culture, and government. So four rivers went out from the garden and became great heads. These are those aforementioned institutions. In fact, when we have those four institutions working, we see our dear brother from Los Angeles who's working on STEM, science, technology, math, and engineering. STEM. We want to push that. Yes. We are going to have, week after next, Judge Hassan El-Amin, a judge of the Maryland Court, Supreme Court, Superior Court. He's going to be on the air. We were supposed to have Imam Salim Bookman. I've heard from him, but I hope to have him on the program. Want to reach out to others who might have something to say. Next month, the 20th of August, we're going to have Dr. Khalil Muhammad from Schaumburg. He will return to Religion Means Alive. We hope to also broadcast him live, perhaps even on YouTube. Religion Means Alive is expanding. It's going to be going on to radio programs. Mainstream radio, and from mainstream radio, we're going to go on to mainstream television. Religion means alive. God wants us to be alive. He wants us to have a life, an abundant life. Jesus Christ prophesies that you will have life, and life more abundantly. So if Our dear brother is still on the line, Ms. Muhammad, to get ready for the iftar. So if you would ask questions, I would really appreciate it so I can answer them or serve as my discussant, as they say in the academic world. And we will, God willing, we will try to answer your questions.
Imam W.D. Muhammad shared with us a concept. I don't remember the year, but he said that when we are given the greetings of Blessed Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak, he said we should not say Ramadan Kareem. And he said that that was a lesser response. It wasn't equal, or it didn't meet the standard of being equal or better than Mubarak. Would you elaborate on that, please, sir? Share with me what you remember
I certainly will. That's a very good question. Blessed Ramadan is sufficient. But Imam said that the immigrant Muslims were saying to the African-American community, they don't say that to each other, Ramadan Kareem. They said that to the African-Americans. They say you have to be first clean before you can be blessed. So they believe that we're second-class citizens. I know that they have not practiced al-Islam as it should be. So I'm so glad that Almighty God has blessed us to have a leader, a teacher, and a guide in the person of Imam Muhammad, the guide, African-American people. And to the proper guidance, we're cleaning our people up. We're building them into a new people with God's permission. I hope I answered your question.
So the idea of Ramadan Kareem, they're saying you are not clean. And Kareem, Kareem is what?
Kareem is generous, and also can refer
generous.
To clean. They mean that you have to be generous and clean before you can be, well, Kareem also could mean clean as well, that you have to be generous and clean before you can even be blessed. So they're saying that they don't see us as full Muslims. I could care less what they think. I don't respond to them. They didn't teach me. They didn't come after me. They had nothing to do with my making. We are born of a virgin birth, so I'm excited about the virgin birth and not them.
Hey, what you say, brother, this is a statement, not a question. It's like the sanctified idea. This is something that make you want to dance and shout to know that you truly are free, excuse me, from the shackles of ignorance that were placed on us by slave master as well as the people that come over here not with the intent of establishing or sharing or practicing the deen with the indigenous African American, but to do the same thing that the days of what they call it, slavery and chattel slavery done to us, to keep us in that condition. So when we bring out the information from our illustrious leader and teacher, it does free the mind, brother. It is unique. It is the best thing ever happened to this so-called Negro. And it's just sad that sincerity from an empirical standpoint is not in the heart of a lot of us. That's the sad part. But the information that we share with one another in truth and in sincerity, that will certainly break the chains of slavery in our head. And stop worshiping white people as some god or in the family of God. So we thank Allah for the blessing that we got through Imam W.D. Muhammad. It all was from Allah, because he always told us to follow the example of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and read the Quran. And as long as he's sharing that with us, you follow him. And when we look at him we won't say him as a physical being, but yes, he did. He walked and talked amongst us. But when we look at his message, what did he say about his legacy? Use this knowledge, my language, and this language will take you and set you on high. And you can go and sit and talk to any and all of these religious people, and you can educate them. Why? Because they don't know. They have not been educated in the spiritual.
Brother Abdul Malik, we have a caller from Los Angeles as well. So let hear from him. Thank you. Brother, yes, sir. Caller, you're on the air, but religion means alive.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, Imam Alfred.
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Brother, you always managed to amaze me. You use the expression, that we are the people of the virgin birth. I never heard it said like that. Can you elaborate on that, Imam? And I'm going to hang up and,
yes, sir.
And listen.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that question. What it means by virgin birth is that we were not birthed. No other seed, intellectual, spiritual, or otherwise, was put into us. God himself calls us to be born. We're not born because of the ulama. We're not born because of the Muslim world. We were born because God inspired one of us to take the reins, to even get the understanding of the Quran. A lot of people say, well, it was the Quran that birthed you. No, it wasn't. We first had to have the nature. And the virgin birth referred to when Jesus Christ said he was not born of a father. The father referred to some earthly force. Nothing created Jesus. And so it is also true of us as a people. And when I say us, I'm really, when we talk about Imam Muhammad is us. So we are of a virgin birth. We were not educated by the world. The Western world had nothing to do with us creating us. The Oriental world had nothing to do with creating us. We know the Muslim world had anything to do with us. God, in his infinite mercy, allowed us to plunge into the depths of darkness. And then God himself rescued us. So that's the virgin birth. We didn't, no seed from the Western world, no seed from the Oriental world, no seed from the Muslim world, no seed from any place other than the word of God inspiring in us a new will and a new mind and a new spirit and a new people. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about at the Ramadan session at 929 East 171st Street in Hazelcrest, Illinois, God willing. You all pray for me. I hope I answered your question, Brother George.
Also, Imam Alfred, Brother George, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. You really answered that, and I'm gonna think about that more and try to go a little further into that concept. That's well put, and it opened up a kind of like a new idea for me. You know, I've heard it. I maybe have heard it from the Imam, but
you expressed
it like that. Brought another
you heard idea. It from Imam Muhammad. He talked about the virgin birth. And what you heard, what I do is repeat what he says. I take his spirit, his will, his words, and I translate them. And since he was born of a virgin birth, then we were born of a virgin birth because we came from him. And he was not taught by anybody. He didn't go to Al-Azhar. No sheikh taught him, you know. He went to the same schools that Donnell Kareem did. But Donnell didn't get the virgin birth. Imam Muhammad got it, and if one of us get it, the rest of us get it. Now, we're not out of message, but we are out of time. And I'm going to take one question from Brother Abdul Malik. I hope it's in the form of a question. Then we have to close it out for the day.
Do you remember what Imam W.D. Muhammad said about no man and I think you mentioned the seed, but in terms of the man of having Jesus having no father, and how does the term, you use the term father or earthly, you suggest an earthly being, and how does that term father relate to Jesus not having a father and Mary having no man to touch her?
Well, since we are really in an audience that is mostly Christian, and I don't really want to delve into it any further than what I have delved in with it. You know, we have to find the appropriate, and again, I want to tell everybody, listen to this program, the large percentage of this audience is non-Muslim. So I want everybody to understand we have to respect our audience. In an Islamic studies class, I will probe it. I will discuss it. In a comparative religion class, I will deal with it delicately. The Prophet and Allah tells us, don't raise any questions that could cause someone to lose faith. So I would suffice to say, we believe in the virgin birth. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin birth. But I'm going to also say what I told Brother George. We were born of a virgin birth. Thank you, dear beloved people. Thank you for listening to Religion Means Live. Peace be on our humble and honorable and noble religious audience. And to all of you, Christians and Muslims, blessed Ramadan, and also have a very pleasant evening.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Lily? Hello, Tinker Stone. Thank you.